connections and people that we are a part of there. But first, I'm going to touch on our family. Scott kind of touched on them real quick, but I'll show you some quick pictures of them. So you kind of have us, oh, not yet. Imagine a people sitting on this bench in a park. All right, so here we go. All right, so there are the four of us now that are in Bulgaria. Our oldest son, Rutger, is going to be a senior at Bethel College this fall, and he actually is getting married in 2 weeks, and so this is his soon-to-be bride with him, Kim. And then Blake is going to be a sophomore at Bethel College in the fall. And Nathaniel is 16, and believe it or not, because you were talking about Eliana, well, Nate is the tallest in the family now. So he's like up here on me. So his brother couldn't believe it when he saw him at the airport. So, but he's going to be a junior in high school. Eliana is a freshman in high school coming up. And last but not least is Chipper the cat, because he's all part of the family now. So we included him in there. But, you know, talking about our ministry, we get asked a lot, what does your ministry look like in Bulgaria? And the easy one-word answer to that is discipleship. Now, there's a lot of things that tie into that, but discipleship is the purpose for why we are there in Bulgaria. And we've identified four steps in this discipleship process that we're going to share with you. And these steps don't just work in Bulgaria. We used them when we were here in the United States, so we know they work. And the reason we know they work also is because if you read the New Testament, you can kind of see how Jesus does it. And I figure Jesus can do it, and that's probably a pretty good role model for the rest of us. So we tend to follow him when we don't know what we're doing. So,
yeah, and we want to be clear with you that this is not a formula necessarily. Because formulas tend to turn into programs, and we don't really like programs. We like ergonomic, sort of holistic, sort of organic movements, and we see Jesus doing that in the New Testament as well. So this is kind of more like a basic guidelines. We'll just call it basic guidelines. So in the four steps, the first one that we would like to talk about is the relationship process, the relationship step. And this is where you're really just getting to know people. You're really just introducing yourself. You're getting to know them. You're being seen. And this is an important step because if, you know, you don't know somebody, you can't get to know them better. So this is the first step. And it's where friendship kind of starts to begin. We see this played out in the book of Ruth, where Ruth's husband has died. Naomi, his mother, is kind of urging Ruth to go on and, you know, start a new life. And Ruth says this: "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me." And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Now, for us in Bulgaria, this is an important step because nobody can believe that we would come from the land flowing with milk and honey in the U.S. of A. and come to live in poor little Bulgaria. And this step, I mean, these questions, I feel like they're the Naomis and we're the Ruths. And we're like, we're not going to leave you. We're here for the long haul. And every time we come home on furlough, they're like, are you coming back? And we're like, yes, of course we're coming back, as long as the Lord tells us to. I mean, we kind of have to throw that in. But this is the first important step, is the relationship. How do we do this in Bulgaria? We do it by being in the community. Lots of different ways. But for example, this photo is of Tony and Emil. They own a restaurant in our little city. And we decided when we moved to Bulgaria that we wanted to take our kids on a date. Once a week, one kid, go on a date, reconnect with them and them alone. But we also decided to make it a very purposeful and intentional meeting. And in that, we went to the same restaurant, go to the same restaurant every week, every Friday. Why? Because that's how we become familiar to some people. And so slowly over time, the owner started to notice we were there a lot. And they speak some good English. And actually, they had both lived in the U.S. for short periods of time. And it just began to open up doors for more conversation. And now we find ourselves with them moving into the next step, which is step two, friendship.
Yeah, friendship. And that's been really fun to see this develop with Tony and Emil, to get to know them. They've actually come over to our apartment a couple times for meals. And that's a kind of a big deal. We don't think of that as Americans in our culture to invite someone over. But in Bulgarian culture, it's very, but you don't typically do that. You typically meet at a neutral ground, which is why cafes are everywhere. And so you go to the cafe and you have a cup of coffee or something. So friendship is that next step in the process of these four steps. And it's really about building trust. That's the important thing, because they don't really trust you there. They're kind of keep you at arm's length most of the time. But there's a great example in the Bible, Jonathan and David. And in 1 Samuel it says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. One of the ways that we continue with this, building this trust and this friendship, is through an English club that we have in our apartment. And we started it up this past fall, and we have a bunch of kids that come in. You can see all their names up there in both English and Cyrillic, so figured you'd probably want the English to tag along with that. So you can see the language that we try to deal with as well. But you know, it's great. When we meet together with them, we have some studies with them. They come over to our apartment once a week, and it's just an interactive time with them. And it gives us opportunities to do more and more things with them to have an impact in their life.
This is the building trust step that we talked about, the friendship step. And what this allows us to do is get a little bit further into their lives, right? Because this is then how you can begin to have spiritual conversations. You can't just, you know, start, well, I guess if the Lord leads you, but most of the time you're just not going to start in with a heavy spiritual conversation with somebody you just met. So one of the ways that we've had an impact and been able to get a little closer to these guys is with this guy named Vasco. Vasco had his 18th birthday and invited us to come to it. Can we move to
the next slide? Can you move to the next slide?
And go ahead and click one more. This is Vasco's 18th birthday party. He invited us to come. And we came, and we had a great time. And then after the fact, we realized, or were told, like, the 18th birthday is a huge deal in Bulgaria. It's like our 16th birthday or our 21st birthday. And we didn't realize the honor that we had to be invited to his birthday. But he now has connected with us so much. He feels the trust. He knows that we're there for him. He's been coming to the English club, he's come to baseball, and he wanted us to be a part of his 18th birthday.
Okay, actually, I'm going to add to it. He, right before we left on Facebook Messenger, he created a little fam group. He's called it Fam with a couple hearts, and it's got all of us that are in the family. And so he sends us messages, so we're keeping in contact. Even this week he sent us a couple messages, so it's kind of fun.
Another thing that we can do now that we have a little bit of trust established with them is in the English club, we can have some parties. And so sometimes we'll do like what we call cultural connections, and we'll talk about things like, for example, this was our Christmas party, if you want to click again, where we actually were able to talk about the Christ story, the Messiah story, with them for Christmas. We talked about our American traditions and kind of wove all of that in, but it's the beginning of a spiritual process with them. We also are just able to go on little field trips and take them around because they trust us. It's not something that every parent is going to allow their kid to do. If they don't know this American, why would they let their kids wander off with them? But we've gone on little field trips with them. And then finally, it's just about having fun. It's about letting our guard down. It's about being real with them. They, you know, people can tell when you're not genuine. People can tell when you're fake, when you're putting on a facade. And so for us, just being with them and being real is such a critical part of the game.
And again, it's just building that trust. Another way in which we do that is through baseball. Play baseball in Kozenluk, Bulgaria, and it's not the American game, I can tell you that, but it's close, it's similar. We have a bat and a ball and gloves. So, and
the bases.
They do. I mean, we have the diamond and everything. It's getting better, though. But every year we have a group from the World Baseball Academy come over from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and they host a week of baseball. We go into the schools, we have a bunch of kids come out to the field, and we play. And to us, it's just a tool. It's just a way of really getting to know these kids and to build a relationship from there. So you kind of go to the next slide, please. This is just some of our time out there. You know, just playing the game and having a good time. We go about four times a week out to the field, and this year we've actually had enough kids where we can play games, which is really good. So, but this guy up in the left-hand corner, you can't really see him. He looks like he's stealing home, but I think there was a good hit, so he's taken off. But he's a 20-year-old kid. He graduated from high school last year because they start one year later than we do. But he had gone to university, and he came back to Kozenlock for the summer. And he started coming back to baseball again, and he loves it, and he's a great teacher. I mean, he's just really good with kids. They have kind of a shaming society there, so like the way they do school and stuff is, you know, this kid does really bad, don't be like him. You know, they'll like bring him up front. So our kind of approach is a little different. You know, we're like more the encouraging, good job, you know. So he is like that. So he teaches the kids how to bat, how to throw, how to hold their glove, all of these things, and you know, he's doing a really good job. And he actually approached me and asked, could he run the baseball this summer while we're gone? And I was shocked because Bulgarians don't volunteer for anything.
And they certainly don't do anything for nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, I was so thrilled and so happy to be able to turn it over to him. Is he a Christian? No. I mean, he smokes, he drinks, he chews, and he probably hangs around with women that do. But it's a process of developing this relationship and growing from there. You know, we've got to meet them where they're at. You can't expect them to understand everything. You've got to go where they are. And, you know, he's doing a great job. We're keeping in contact with him, again, through the internet, which is a wonderful invention. Thank you, whoever created that.
I think it was Al Gore.
Yeah, it was Al Gore, yeah. Let's not go there. But you know, it's really neat to just develop these relationships and see the potential there. You know, Yvonne has so, and I want to tell you this too. I have a Serbian friend that told me this. It's not Ivan. He says, when you guys say Ivan, it sounds like this big Russian dude. It said, it's Yvonne. So just so you know for the future. But Yvonne is a really good kid, and I see so much potential in him. And there's so much that can go into that relationship. But you know, this is just the beginning of that. And so really excited about the possibilities and the opportunities that God is allowing for that.
So after the initial step of establishing relationship and then the second step of building trust through friendship, we come to the third step that we see, which we've named discipleship. In reality, the whole process is discipleship. Some people call those first two steps pre-discipleship, but I don't really care about the names. I don't get too hung up on them. This, to us, is where they've made a crossing. It's where they've made a decision to follow Jesus. It's where they're, or at very least, super interested in spiritual matters, and they're asking you questions, and you're able to share spiritual things from your own life. Discipleship, obviously, we see played out in the New Testament quite literally and quite perfectly with Jesus and his followers. Matthew 11:1 says, after Jesus had finished instructing his 12, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. And what we see happening is Jesus is not only calling people to him, but he's saying, follow me, watch what I do, and do what I do. And so the discipleship process is this step, the step three, is where we see people wanting to learn more, wanting to become a follower of Christ, wanting to follow Christ more closely. And we are so excited. I know it doesn't sound like much, but believe me, it's like it shook heaven and earth to have our first convert in Bulgaria. Praise the Lord, because this is such a dry, hard, crusty soil, steeped in religion. They think they have Jesus, and they don't. There really is a spirit of religion that oppresses the whole country, and that's keeping them from a real relationship with Jesus. And it's really hard to explain to people who haven't been there and seen it, but we have Rachi. Rachi, I know that she was in our presentation last time. We talked about her, how she was such a good friend. We've asked you to pray for her. This happened through baseball. We first met Rachi 6 years ago through baseball. Before we, yeah. No, yeah, 5 years seven, ago. No. Five. Okay. Through baseball. And developed a friendship, built trust, got to know her more and more. She sees things in her family that she likes and admires and wants to see in her family someday. Why are you different? What's different about you? And it opens up your life to hers, our life to hers. And so, through baseball, this beautiful Rachi has come to know Jesus.
And I love this photo of her, this big one on the left up here. It really shows who Rachi is. I mean, just her personality and everything comes through in that photograph. She probably wouldn't pick that one. But I love that photograph of her because it just shows, you know, who am I, and this is it. This cheerful, bubbly, great personality. So
rather than us telling you Rachi's story, we want to let Rachi tell Rachi's story. We had a videographer in Cousin Look a few months ago who was doing some taping for us, and Rachi was helping us in one of the hospitals and doing some translating for the video, and we had to wait. We had like a 30-minute wait or so. And so we went outside the hospital, and Joe, the videographer, said, "So, Rachi, tell me about you." And she just started talking.
Which she's very good at.
And her English is really good. So it's in English. You don't have to worry about that. But she just started talking about Rachi. And we realized when it was all done, thank God he had it on tape. She just poured out her testimony. Now, we condensed 20 minutes down to about, I don't know, two and a half. So it's kind of choppy here and there, but bear with that and just listen to what she's saying, and maybe you'll better understand what we mean by having this sense of religion, but really without Christ.
Hello, I am Radha Keshava, and I live in a village near to the town of Cousin Look. My American friends call me Rachi.
Rachi is my first and best Bulgarian friend. And we found you, or you found us, through baseball. She's our Bulgarian daughter.
Yes, but mostly I'm so thankful for them because they're always here.
I love our friendship, and I love all the time we've had together. But one of the things I'm most thankful of is how you've grown spiritually.
Yes.
How you've gotten to know God better and understand Jesus more, and that makes my heart so, I'm gonna cry. It makes my heart so happy.
I'm gonna cry out.
But that makes me so happy because that's important to me.
In May, when it was my prom and graduation, I got a present that really touched me, and it was the Bible with my name on it. I'm born in Orthodox Church. I know the traditions. That's what growing up my parents, we didn't go to church much, only on Easter or Christmas, not even then. But we still say we're Christians, we believe in God, we pray, but it's not, you don't have that connection. I mean, you say you do, but it's different. I wanted to read the Bible so I know how you should live, what you should do in your life to follow it. I met them. Later, I got to know what is it to have the connection with God. I got to know how to build it. I know that I'm not perfect. I still have make mistakes, but the important thing is that I learn from them, and I know that I'm not gonna do it again. Stop crying. I've been through a lot. I felt lost. And I've tried so many things to find myself, but always with not a nice end. I am still growing in a spiritual way, but people never stop growing. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that they have experience from this, and they give it to me, and not only to me, to everyone in the group. They're teaching me. Mm-hmm. They're teaching me. They're my teachers. I'm so thankful for my second family. and you still know that. I'm not perfect, but you're there, and I never, like, said I love you enough, or I never was, like, thankful, and I'm so sorry, but I want you to know that I am.
Oh, but I know you love us, and we love you.
I do.
You hear a lot of things in that video. You hear her sort of saying repeatedly, but, you know, I still make mistakes and I'm still growing. That comes out of that shame-based society that they live in. You hear her saying, you know, I always said I was a Christian, but I realized I really wasn't. And so these are the kind of, this is sort of the spiritual climate that we're dealing with in Bulgaria. And what a success story. Kingdom speaking, Rachi has been. This requires, however, us to move to the next step with Rachi.
Yes. And the next section is actually just the continuation of discipleship. And true discipleship is multiplication. Okay, it's a disciple making a disciple that makes a disciple that makes a disciple. It's not just me saying, hey, I have a couple people following me. It's more than that. I mean, if you, again, you look at Jesus' example, he had the 12 who then went out and made more disciples. And, you know, we're all here today because of them going out and carrying the gospel. And so multiplication is very important in this process. So there's a scripture here in Acts. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So I'm excited to start to see this multiplication happening in Bulgaria. We have a friend, a young man that I'm working with. He's in his mid to late 20s. His name is George. And this is him up there. He was a Christian. He still is a Christian. When we moved to Bulgaria, he was a Christian, and he attends the church that we go to. And I've just had the chance and the pleasure to start to meet with him over the last couple of years and develop this relationship and these processes even deeper in him, to the point now that he is going out trying to build a group of people that he can now disciple. It's starting out with a tool. He's just meeting with guys on Sunday afternoons to play soccer, but his whole desire and intent is to build these relationships with them so that he has the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And it's just taking what's available for him right now, where he's at, and taking that and using that to start this process. And I'm really excited for him because there's so much potential there, so much that he has to offer the body of Christ. And so just keep him in your prayers, please, you know, because it's a big step. It really is. Evangelical Christians in Bulgaria are considered a cult or a sect. And so people avoid anything that's different than the Orthodox Church. And so this is a different approach for him. And so it's kind of scary a little bit for them to step out in that. But we have the harvest field in Bulgaria. And do you guys remember the video where I was standing in the field in the roses? So I want to show you what it looked like 6 weeks later. So there are hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of flowers in this one particular field, and it's absolutely beautiful. Because the picture really doesn't do it justice, but I mean, they're just beautiful, fragrant flowers there. And that is our hope and our joy for Bulgaria, you know, to go back to that video and to share about, you know, it's the people that are important. And, you know, that's the next couple things here. If you could go ahead. You know, the people are our roses. Those are the things that we're working on. Those are the things that we are investing in and doing things with, and really trying to make a difference in their lives. If you want to go to the next slide? Yeah, there we go. You know, these are some of the kids that we have good connections with that we're able to invest in. We're purposeful and intentional about what we do with them and what we say, and God is blessing that. And it's a joy to see all of that come around and to see how God is working in their lives.
So, you know, we've walked you through the steps that we've identified: relationship, trust building and friendship, discipleship, multiplication. as a strategy, as a way to sort of think about all of the relationships that we have and where are they in this process. But, you know, we can't leave here. We wouldn't be doing our job. We wouldn't be obeying the Holy Spirit if we didn't put a challenge to you, too. So sit back. Here we go. What are your goals? Where are you in this process with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with your relatives, with your children? Where are you in this process with people? We, Pastor Scott said it, we're all called to the Great Commission. Some of us are called to go, some of us are called to send. I get it. But let's take a look at the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, you school students, I know you just got out of school probably, or we'll be wrapping up here in a couple of days, but we're going to have an English lesson right here and right now. Grammatically, Jesus's command has, there's basically four commands in there. Go, make, baptize, teach. But every sentence usually has one main verb or command in this case. And a lot of times we misthink this verse. I really believe we do. And we think that the main verb is go, but it's not. Structurally, the main verb in this command is make. And in fact, I've heard it said that this command could almost be better translated, while you are going, make disciples. Where you are going, when you are going, in the process of going, make. Your command is to make disciples. It's not just my command. It's your command. Jesus told us all to go and make disciples. Now, in light of this, it can get kind of awkward sometimes, taking life to a spiritual level with people. And I'm not, I am the last one to make things awkward. Right, hon?
Yes.
But seriously, I want everybody to have fun and feel comfortable. And for me, if a spiritual conversation is going to make someone feel awkward, I actually tend to shy away from it. And that's something the Lord's dealing with me on. But in the process of creating trust and making friendships, I'm always looking for that open door to a little spiritual slip. Just get that little spiritual slip in there. And it works. People see it. There's an interesting story. Penn and Teller, are you familiar with Penn and Teller, the magic duo, whatever? They had like a stage show, maybe they still do, in Vegas, have for a long time, and you can actually find the video clip if you search for it, Google it, whatever, you can hear it for yourself, but I'm just going to kind of go over it. We've been reading this book called Trellis in the Vine, which talks about the trellis being sort of the structural component of church that needs to be there, the structure that needs to be there for things to grow on, but the vine work being really the discipleship work, the process of creating growth. And in this book, they quote Penn, who had, after a show one evening, a guy came up to him, a Christian man. Now, Penn is a devout, staunch atheist. I mean, he will not be convinced that there is a God, that everything has happened by chance, and you can't convince him otherwise yet. Okay. So anyway, this guy comes up to him after one of the shows, and with all sincerity in his heart, looks him straight in the eye, man to man, and says, I want you to have this. And he hands him a Gideon New Testament. And he says, I know I'm proselytizing my faith, and I know you're an atheist, but I really feel like you need to have this.
And this is Penn's kind of response back to that. It says, I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them? I mean, if I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, and that truck was bearing down on you, there is a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that.
This is from the mouth of an atheist who wasn't approached in a way that brought conflict, but was approached in a way that was out of the sincerity of a man's heart. Mm-hmm. Chew on that for a little bit. It's also interesting, the next slide. The trellis and the vine also makes this quote, and it's pretty powerful. It stands for itself. We have to conclude that the Christian with no passion for the lost is in serious need of self-examination and repentance.
Do you have a passion for the lost? A real passion for it? For them within your heart? Do you have the passion for the in your heart? Or do you disregard Muslims? Do you have a passion for the lost? Or do you just pity the drunkard? Do you have a passion for the lost? Or do you just have disgust for the homosexual? These people are lost. They are dying, and they are going to go to hell unless you and I do something about it. So, what are your goals? What are you going to do from here on out? We've given you some 4 steps that have worked for us, and I know that they will work for you as well. But you have to step out in faith and start doing it if you're not doing it already. Mm-hmm. And I challenge you to do that, because we can go to the next. Oh, we've got it up there. To me, this is the exciting part of what we're doing in Bulgaria, right here in these slides here. This is the Rose Fest. This is literally a week ago in Kazinluk, Bulgaria. They have a Rose Fest because the roses are such a huge deal. But Ursula has painted faces for 4 years now for free, which they can't understand at all. There's nothing free in Bulgaria, so why are you doing this? But this year, she invited some of the girls that we've had the opportunity to develop these relationships with to join her. And they were nervous at first. But I tell you what, they loved it. They had so much joy giving to their community and being a part of something. In fact, Ursula wasn't even going to do it last Sunday because she was so tired and just worn out. I mean, we were packing. We were trying to figure out what do we need for 4 months in America. Our son's getting married. We have all these things. I'm going to do the Rose Fest. Maybe I won't do Sunday. Saturday, we're like, so what time tomorrow are we doing this? You know, she's like, well, I'm not sure. And they finally convinced you that we needed to do it again. So they loved it. I had some guys from the baseball team come out. We had a throwing game for little kids. And they had such a blast doing that. In fact, one day it rained and we didn't have a lot of people. I'm like, well, we're just going to take it down because we're not really doing much. And they were actually upset. They were like, oh, what are we going to do now? So they were having fun. We walked in the parade and we gave away tons of stuff that we bought at Oriental Trading Company, where you can get like 10,000 things for a dollar. So so we had these like blow up bats and we had these blow up beach balls that were shaped like baseballs. We had candy, we had all the different things. And as we walked through the parade, all the kids had a bag, a few had a bag, and they just handed stuff out. And they loved it. They had so much fun giving back to their community. And this is such a powerful process in this whole discipleship. It's walking alongside them through it. It's not just say, go do this. It's come with me. Let's do this together. And that's the important thing about these processes.
What this is going to do is open up for us when we return, because we like left them hanging with sort of the high of Rose Festival and having served their community. They're just going to be ruminating on this for 4 months. They've never done anything like this. I mean, like Pete said, and it's not a joke, like you don't get anything for nothing in Bulgaria. So it's like really a big deal. These kids, there's no sort of movement or current to like give back or pay it forward or bless your community. It's not part of the psyche there. It's like, give me. under communism, it was like, wait till somebody does it for me. And so the kids are going to be ruminating on this for 4 months. And when we get back, we can restart this conversation. We'll give them bits and pieces of it while we're here on Facebook. But anyway, you know, hey, what did you guys think about Rose Festival and all that stuff we did? You want to do it again next year? And I know they're going to be like, yeah, yeah, let's do it again. And then we can say, so why do you think it, why did it feel so good to do that? Do you see the spiritual conversation starting? Maybe is it better because it's better to give than to receive? Well, that's a biblical principle. They're not opposed to the Bible because they're Christians. They're Orthodox. They're supposed to believe in the Bible. So that's okay. We can do that. But, you know, the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. What do you think about that? And the conversations begin and get a little bit deeper. So kind of in summary, we sort of wanted to show you, like, how even the Rose Festival can be part of this whole process and just take us that next step in, that next step into their lives.
I want to wrap up here. Just give me a couple minutes. We're over just by two, so... but going back to some of the things that you've talked about today about prayer, and I want to share the fact that prayer really started all of this for us. On our last HMA, we returned to Bulgaria in March of, I don't even know what year it was, 2015, yeah, that's what it was. We returned to Bulgaria in March of 2015. In September of that year, we had a church that also partners with us. We had four people from that church come to Bulgaria, and the only reason they came was to pray. They walked the city and they prayed. And I tell you what, when I look back at our last term that we were there, that is what started all of the momentum that we have right now. In 2016, we had the baseball come, and honestly, it was one of our worst years for the baseball ever. In fact, I was like in the mindset of, okay, this is either going to work or we're just going to put it aside, because I'm not into programs. I'm not into doing something if there's no fruit coming out of it. So he said, okay, this year we're going to do something different. We're going to try and plug this a little bit more, get more interest in it. And we didn't really get it. But we got a few people that were really interested. And we began this process of friendship, which is trust. And we're hoping to move that into discipleship. If you notice on a lot of these pictures, you see the same faces over and over again. It's because those are the ones that God has blessed us with to work with right now. And through that baseball, then we said, okay, we've got these kids. Now what? You know, it's getting to be fall. You can't play baseball in the winter. So let's start an English club. Okay. And they all started coming to that. You know, and we built upon that. But it goes back to that time, I believe, when we had the prayer group come to Bulgaria and really bless us by just praying over the people of Bulgaria. And so I just want to encourage you with that, to keep up praying and really seeking the Lord in all the things that you do. It's exciting what God is doing there. I'm glad that we're able to make an impact, and I thank you for partnering with us and making that a possibility, because we really couldn't do it without you. You know, you are also a part of each one of these kids' lives. You guys are a part of Rachi's testimony. She doesn't necessarily know it, but you are a part of that. And there's one more person in heaven because you guys invested in us. And not even in us. You invested in the Lord, you know. And so I just really want to thank you guys for that. Thank you for your commitment to praying for us and for partnering with us. Yeah. So thank you, Scott. We'll turn it back over to Pastor Scott. And, again, appreciate you having us here this morning.